Okay, ready?
Sorry, I always laugh.
I've never done it before. Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. My name is Bronwyn and I'm here with
Tracy,
Emily,
Sarah,
and Ilsa.
And we're here to talk to you guys about the best books of the year, the Christmas must-haves, our shortlist. And I think the first thing I really want to bring up is, what are you guys getting your parents? Because I'm really struggling.
There are some really good choices here. I don't know if anyone's dad is a music fan. But
yes.
There's the Bruce Springsteen.
Yes,
that's true.
And Jimmy Barnes.
And Jimmy Barnes. Yeah.
Oh, that's really true. Choices.
There's cricket books. How many cricket books do we have on the shortlist? I believe there are two.
But yeah. Even the music books are good for mums as well.
I don't want a gender stereotype. I want to read Born to Run, but I just, you know, it jumps out at me as a good one.
Well, Emily is our resident music fanatic in the office. And definitely. I mean, they're two huge names to come out this year with their memoir. And especially Jimmy's is going to be like a really heavy read, but then funny because he was saying that his way to work through his sort of pain is to just have a few laughs.
Well, and his book isn't so much about his music career.
No,
it's about his childhood, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Leading up to when he gets on the truck that goes to Corchisel or whatever he said. And then book two is going to be about his music career. And I can imagine what will happen then in that book.
I mean, I bought a copy of it. I've only just started reading it. But he's such an icon. I mean, I gather most of us grew up with his music. And, yeah, living in Western Sydney and growing up in Western Sydney, you heard Jimmy Barnes everywhere.
Yeah. Even if you can't pinpoint one of his songs,
you know them.
You know them because you've heard them on the radio, you've heard your parents play them, you've heard your dad repeatedly get the line wrong. Last train out of Sydney? No, Dad, last plane out of Sydney is almost gone.
I know all the words to K-San. I could do it right.
I exactly do not know the words, quite frankly. Like, in our country, between that and working class man, you...
And some of us here were lucky enough to actually hear Jimmy read a section of the
and
book.
And sing,
which was phenomenal. And I think that was the moment where we'd heard about the book, we were excited about the book, but hearing him read that section just was like, oh, this is going to be a very different book than what people might expect.
Yeah, definitely.
And having him come in and be such a down-to-earth, genuine person, I think that was a highlight for a lot of booktopians. So.
Yeah. I think he was probably one of my favourite guests we had this year.
Definitely.
Now we just need Bruce Springsteen.
I know. We're working on it. Come on, Bruce. Come in.
March. We know you're performing up at the arena up the road.
There's no escaping.
We are just a slight detour.
But you're right. There are also so many sports ones as well. I would say my mum would love the sports probably more than my dad.
Yeah.
So we've got two on the short list. My Story, Michael Clarke, and
Resilience. Yeah. But there are so many.
Dennis Lilly one is fantastic. I bought a copy of that for my uncle. And it's such a great
gift for Christmas. Yeah,
I've got one for my mum as well.
Yeah, I keep flicking through it and looking at all the dodgy photos from the 70s.
Oh, no.
You know, the big mustaches and that. It's definitely one that...
And he was such a great man as well.
Appealed to even people that aren't necessarily cricket fans, but just to look back at that sort of era and... Mm-hmm. Some interesting moments in Australian sport.
Yeah.
And there's lots of other sports stuff that's come out recently as well. Like, there's the Margaret Court biography.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's the Cadell Evans as well. So if you have someone in the house who's not a cricket fanatic.
I got two the other day.
Nice.
In my family, there's so many massive, massive cycling fans.
Do you think we should explain to people where we're sitting right now?
Yeah, we sort of made a very tragic blanket fort.
It is a professional soundproof studio, aka blanket fort.
That's right.
It's a little bit cold in here.
A little bit dusty.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to get the optimal sound, so we've got, you know, walls on all sides, we've got a sheet over us, we've got pillows, a few pillows, although not enough to Emily's liking.
And you books. Never have enough pillows in a pillow fort. Thank you very much.
We don't really have any in the office.
We need one.
We'll just buy a bunch of pillows.
Now, another one that I thought is a really good gift for pretty much like a really good go-to gift for anyone if you don't know what to get someone. Maybe The Boy Behind the Curtain by Tim Winton.
Yes, absolutely. Because he's the books that he's written over the years.
Iconic Australian.
Yeah, they are so fascinating. Like, my mum,
Cloud Street and Erie.
Yes. Yeah, my mum loves them, and to get some insight into, you know, the mind.
Mm.
Well, and I know I bought a lot of people Island Home last year, and that was a hit. So I'll just do it again.
Yeah. Like, this is company, the one
punching one out a year. Yeah.
And if they haven't read his stuff, well, it's never too early.
Well, after reading it, they'll probably go, yeah, let's.
What about for the foodies and the cookbook lovers?
I have to say, I love the Donna Hay Basics to Brilliance book. I watched the TV show when it was out, and I've been cooking from the cookbook, and there's some brilliant recipes in there for everyone from the beginning cook. Through to someone who's more experienced. Mm-hmm. And it's just because she gives you one basic recipe and then alternatives based on that original recipe. It's when you're struggling to find what to cook for dinner for everyone and something that will keep everyone happy, it definitely is a great book for that.
I imagine it would probably help if you've gotten into some bad habits as well. Like, I know when I'm in the kitchen, like, I love cooking, but I'm really bad with some things. Like, I do not use knives properly. There are many techniques that I'm sure I could improve that I just go, can't be bothered. And I'm sure if somebody as professional and elegant as Donna Hay could perhaps take me firmly by the hand and teach me not how to cut myself on a knife and how to, you know, maybe actually saute something properly without burning it, that would be excellent.
And has anyone, I haven't had a look at it yet, but what about the Pete Evans book? Because gut health is such a thing now.
Like, yeah, it's like the second or third brain of the body, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think that one could be a good hit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great cookbooks out
there. There's heaps.
I bought the Manu cookbook.
Yeah, Manu was in, and I find that I have this problem that the author will come in to do a signing and I'll end up buying their book or a couple of copies of their book because I'm flicking through it while they're signing, and that happened with me with like Luke Nguyen, because his book, just all the, you know, Street Food Asia, and it ties in with his new show, and it's just all these little tidbits about like where, if you're going to go to, you know, these places, where to find the best recipe.
Nice.
And that kind of thing. And then, so there's him.
We've got a new Adam Liao.
Yeah, and there's Adam's, exactly. And so making, because everyone, I agree with what he was saying, like you look at Japanese food and you think, oh, it's just so complicated. Mm. It's so intricate. They're such master chefs. But really, there's so much simple stuff that we can all make.
Yeah, and it's not all sushi.
No, it's not.
There's a lot more going on.
A lot of fish, but...
And one of my favourites from this year is The Neighbourhood Bath and Street Kitchen.
Yeah, Hedy McKinnon.
Yeah, that one, that's like, I've already tried so many of the salads from that, and it's one of my favourites and a great gift going into summer for Christmas.
They've got a second one too, don't they? Community?
Community was the first one.
I might have to get both of them. And I think while I'm at it, I'm going to get the Stephanie Alexander Cook's Table as well, because you can't have too much Stephanie, I reckon.
Yeah.
Never.
Everyone has to have a copy of The Cook's Companion.
Yeah. I got given one a few years ago, and it is just like covered in food splashes and drips and everything like that, but I use it all the time.
It's actually worth checking out The River Cottage A to Z, which is new in the last few months. That is a great book for learning about the ingredients you're using. There's recipes as well, but it's more learning how to cook.
Yeah.
Each different type of ingredient.
Yeah.
And you know what's great? There's so many just straight cookbooks, but there's so many health and fitness, well-being books out there as well that have a lot of great recipes. Like, there's Jacinta Campbell.
Yeah.
And Melissa Ambrosini. And there's even Joe Wicks, who is in.
Yes.
And all of them have, you know, here's how to eat better, here are some great recipes, but here's also how to stay fit and a lot of motivation and things like that, which I think definitely helps.
It's the complete package.
Yes, it is.
Nice. I know for my dad, I think the one book that I've got my eye on is probably, and you're all going to laugh at me because I can't pronounce it, Victory at Villers-Bretonneux.
That's
French
not too
famous.
Not too bad.
Please write in, correct my pronunciation. The Peter Fitzsimons, I think, you know, it's an amazing story of a small town that was pretty much saved from complete destruction by the Anzacs in 1918, if my memory serves me right. And it is an amazing story. And I think the primary school in the village still has a little sign above the blackboard in the classroom that says, never forget the Australians, but, in French.
Well, that book has sold so well already. Yeah. Peter Fitzsimmons was in here yesterday, everybody, for his second signing, and you know, he may come back.
He's got three books.
He does.
He does.
About to come out.
Yeah, even look, he's got a weight loss one too, and things like that. There's heaps of those out at the moment.
He's prolific.
Yeah,
and his other ones on Aussie stories, which again could be a great Christmas present for people that may not be big readers, but like to dip into different interesting stories.
Definitely.
Well, I bought Matthew Riley's book for my nephew, who is a Matthew fan.
Yep.
I so want to read this series. The only Matthew Riley I've ever read, it's almost shameful to admit, is The Tournament. Like, I just haven't read, I know he's got so many great books, I just haven't only read The Tournament, which I loved. But the Jack West Jr., just like...
Well, you can tell they're going to be good just from the reaction I got telling my friends, oh, Matthew Riley's coming in to do a signing. And I had so many friends being like, oh my God, I want a book. Can I get a book?
It just sounds like such a good series.
Yeah.
And such a good read. Fast-paced. I want to buy that one for me for Christmas.
Yeah,
The free ebook that was available and you can still get now.
Yes,
it just continues to have hundreds of downloads a week.
That's the prequel? Is it?
That's right. The Jack West Jr. prequel to the newest book.
Oh, God. And on the fiction, talking about fiction, we've got two like major, massive thriller reads. The Wrong Side of Goodbye by Michael Connelly, and Night School by Lee Child. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can go wrong with those. Like, you can hand those to almost anyone and they'll enjoy those reads.
Definitely.
Once you start with Bosch, you don't stop. You're in for life.
To go Jack, you never go back.
Even the new Jodie Picoult, I bought that for my aunt, actually. And a lot of people know her from My Sister's Keeper in the movie, but this latest story sounds really, really interesting about a nurse and a newborn baby.
She's really good at telling the stories that need to be told, even though they can be quite uncomfortable and heavy topics.
Yeah, they're never easy to read.
But she does it in such a beautiful, strong way, and it really stays with you. And she was saying that people have been coming to her saying, oh, I've read this ages ago, and I'm still thinking about it. You know, and that's the kind of story that, you know, you need. And I think that would make a great Christmas present for anyone.
Yeah. Well, and there's the new Hannah Kent, The Good People, for a really powerful read.
She's just come out of nowhere, and she's here to stay, I think, really.
Well, I mean, everyone I know has read Burial Rites.
Like, yes.
So you could give The Good People to anyone and say, it's by the person who wrote Burial Rites, and I just get so excited. Yeah. And I'm like a little bit, I'm about a third of the way into this one, and it's just phenomenal. She's just got such a way of painting a time and place that you just feel like you're stepping through time.
It's definitely blown Burial Rites out of the water, I think.
Yeah.
This one.
Like, do you reckon?
I think it's really different.
That's what John says too. Like, yeah.
It's got a different sort of atmosphere. They're both really unsettling, but
and she's so good at putting that atmosphere together. Like, you can practically like smell the peat and the trees and the sunlight on the stone like coming through the pages. It's really incredible. I don't like you said, Bron, like, I don't know where she came from. I mean, like, obviously, you know, she's been writing for a while and she's had, you know, lots of kind of activities and so on in the book world, but yeah, it's pretty amazing that she's just kind of charged out of the gate with Burial Rites and now she's back again. It's, quite impressive.
Let's not forget, there's the new Di Morrissey book.
It's 25 years this year. Can you believe it?
Oh my God.
Yeah, she's so prolific. And I think she's probably the kind of author who, I know if I buy any one of her books, but particularly the newest one, Distant Journey, I know that I can give that to my mother-in-law. I know that I can give that to my sister-in-law. I know there are a lot of people I can give that to, and they're all going to enjoy it because it is that perfect kind of holiday, chilling out by the beach, you know, by a river, whatever kind of read, where you are just going to relax and sink into her prose. And, you know, she knows what she's doing. She's been doing it for a while.
I love that your examples were like your mother and your sister kind of thing, because when Di was in here and she did her interview, she actually told us this great story about how this woman came up to her and said, I love your books and my husband loves your books. He reads them at work. And Di asked, you know, what does he do? And she goes, oh, he's a trucker. And, you know, he gets on massive long stretches of roads that are really straight, so he just plonks the book right up in front of him.
Oh, my God!
I thought you were
going to
say that he listens to it on audio.
No, this was a few years ago. This was a few years ago, back before audiobooks were really a thing. And then she finished with, "Don't worry, he's retired now." But
so the roads are safe.
The roads are safe for everyone. Wow. But here you go, Australian trucker, loved Di Morrissey so much.
Yeah.
And she's had men come up to her say, "Oh, I never thought I'd like a chick book," because it's not. They're not. They're just stories about life, and they're set in the amazing. Well, this one is in the Australian outback, and people always say, "Oh, I read it and I felt like I was back on the farm." And
yeah.
So she really is. Iconic to this country, I think.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Household name.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of a distant journey,
Segway time.
Segway. Has everybody had a look at the travel book?
Oh my god,
it's beautiful.
It's huge.
I'm obsessed. Oh no,
so many gorgeous photos everywhere, and all the tips, and there's like language.
Cover? Like, I know. Rainbow writing on the cover.
It's kind of mesmerizing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no, they. I mean, I always. I know you can go online, but I always buy Lonely Planet books when I'm going to travel. I know they're big, but I'd much rather that, because it just, they have those amazing photos, they have all these great facts, and like they have even things like language tips.
Yeah,
I was very tragically trying to read some out.
I'm sure you did just fine. I'm sure you didn't do as badly with the village of Villebretonneux.
That was worse the second time. Yeah,
thank you.
There is some great books for people that love to travel this Christmas. Oh, so you get that World of Wanderlust.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was there's some other great books from Lonely Planet aimed at kids for travel.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from travel, we've got the Guinness World Records, which
is a great Christmas gift.
Always so entertaining to read those books.
Yeah. It's a great stocking filler for just about everyone.
Yeah, pretty much. I remember when you were a kid, you'd get your Scholastic when they used to do the book fairs, or you'd get the catalogue sent to school,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be the one thing you'd beg your parents for.
Yeah.
They always said no. Not disgruntled at all.
No pent-up resentment here, guys.
We got you one last year.
It's changed.
It's not just for kids. We need to remember that it's perfect for adults.
Anyone
who is interested in weird and wonderful facts.
Mm. Just like Harry Potter, I guess.
Segue!
Harry Potter's featuring strongly on the Christmas shortlist.
Oh, it's been a wonderful year for Potter fans. Me.
I bought the illustrated edition.
Yeah, I bought the illustrated edition.
The Chamber of Secrets?
I love those versions of the books. It's the perfect book to curl up and read to a child, or just
yourself.
You can't go wrong with it. And Fantastic Beasts is out today. Oh my god.
Yes, you've seen it.
I saw it. I did the midnight screening. I came to work on 4 hours of sleep. It was worth it, and I can't wait to have my hands on that screenplay.
Notice how her speed picked up and her voice got
I'm so excited! Talking about Harry Potter, it is my passion, apart from music.
You've been waiting this whole podcast to just bring it
I
up.
I have been waiting a long time to find somewhere to express my wonder and
I feel like it's one of those things that you could literally go up to anybody and be like, "So, you like Harry Potter?" And even if they hate it, which is very, very rare, you'll get a great discussion because people want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So especially everyone in this office, happy to talk about Harry Potter.
Well, I remember when the whole original series was released and everyone on the trains was reading it. It was like this secret club, you look over at someone and they were reading the same book.
What page are you up to?
Yeah, no, definitely.
And I have not seen any spoilers for Fantastic Beasts.
No, I think everyone's made a really conscious effort of making sure it's spoiler-free so everyone will go see it.
Yeah. Mm.
But I guess the difference is as well for Fantastic Beasts, it's an original screenplay, so spoilers don't have, would really ruin it, whereas with the other films, if you'd read the book, you knew what to expect.
But this isn't so earlier in the year we had The Cursed Child, which was a play, and everyone had no option to go see the movie. So if you wanted to know the story, you had to buy the book. The screenplay, if you see the movie, personally, I want the screenplay because I just saw it. I have a photo of it and it's beautiful.
Isn't
it's
gorgeous. Gorgeous. Yeah.
It is gorgeous.
Absolutely the most gorgeous book.
Well, I think as well, especially for Christmas, if you're going to give a Harry Potter obsessed fan something, wrapping up the screenplay, putting under the tree is better than a ticket to the movie. Not that you wouldn't do both.
You could put a ticket to the movie inside
you
the cover.
Here's your bookmark.
I think
a really interesting role reversal that where seeing the movie first and then getting the book.
Yeah, definitely. But I was hoping that you guys could help me with something because I have a young cousin. He's about 6 years old, but don't quote me on that.
you guys are tight.
Yeah. I really need to get him something, and I don't think he's quite up to Harry Potter yet. So I thought that the Brains Trust sitting in front of me might be able to help me pick a good gift for him. I don't think he reads that much, but I want to make sure that he has books in the house to go to.
Could start with Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Mm-hmm. Double Down's out.
Classic.
Yeah.
It's the 11th one in 11th. The series. So if you can get him all 11.
And then I'm not sure I want to do that.
How much of a generous gift giver are you?
Maybe he'll get a little bit. There's not so much that tight to spend that kind of money.
But it's, no, you could keep 1 through 10.
I could just give them to him one at a time.
You could.
It's like bribe him. If he's behaving really, really well, he can get another one.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Are there any other series that he might like?
Yeah, there's Weirdo. Yeah, Ando's series.
Oh, yeah, Ando's mad. I love him. He's cool.
So there's, I think it's book 7 now.
Yeah, this is book 7. So again, another
great
series.
Oh, and the David Walliams.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was a secret, like, for so long. I remember other Emily in the office, was desperate to know like what it was called, what it looked like.
Yeah, they kept it under wraps.
They did, and because that one's about a kid who gets injured, so he goes to hospital, and then he meets some other kids, and they have like an adventure in hospital at night.
Oh, cool!
So I think it might be one of those stories that's, you know, undershadowing some heavy topics.
Yeah,
it's called the Midnight Gang Podcast, Liz.
Yes, there are actually so many amazing kids. Books and young adult books this year. Actually, so many, in fact, that podcast listeners, I'm going to do another whole podcast just on those. So listen out for that.
It might be 90% Gemini talk because...
Oh, God. That book. I love it.
So that much. If you're looking not just for teens, but anyone who kind of likes a fun, rollicking adventure through space.
Can't go wrong with those.
Anyone who just, you know, loves life. Enjoys humour.
Mass murder.
Okay. You've really got something for everyone, Gemini.
That went a bit dark. That got weird.
It's a perfect example of what the book is like, right? Laugh, death.
Death.
Awesome.
Definitely worth reading.
If you want something for sort of younger, slightly younger readers that like adventure, there's the Magnus Chase, which is
of course.
You know, the Rick Riordan new series. Everyone would know the Percy Jackson series that he's written.
Yeah. I love that series. No, just for kids.
An adventure.
For adults. Adults pretending to be adults, as I think we all might be.
Are you actually young at three heart. Children in a trench coat?
I'm 3 8-year-olds. All right. Yeah, pretty much so.
We may have actually covered every title on our Christmas shortlist.
Oh. We actually did we talk
about every book on the Christmas shortlist?
I think we did.
You know how you can find out, podcast listeners, is you can go on the website and look at the Christmas shortlist and see if we've forgotten one.
Mm-hmm. Smooth.
But we have. we forgot the best, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
The best of the kids' books.
Yes.
Is Pig the Elf from Aaron Blaby.
Yes. Oh, my God. Which is ridiculous because that's actually my favourite. I think that is my favourite book of the year.
We should have talked about that first.
Is that say a lot about me that my favourite book of the year is about a pig?
You've just confirmed Ilse's suspicions about you, actually. And I don't think it's 3 8-year-olds, it's probably 4 6-year-olds.
Yes.
It confirms that you have excellent taste.
I think you like it so much because you've got the farting pig.
I do. Chris gave me his farting pig plush, and sometimes people will just walk past and squeeze pig and he'll fart.
I've done that.
Yes.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever done in my life.
I bet.
I frightened the people around me with the loud farting.
But he's so funny. It's getting
this
personal.
Is where we started off intelligently talking about books and we've ended up with farts. Excellent.
But isn't that how life should be?
That's how Booktopia rolls.
Yeah. But, you know, anyone who loves dogs, because anyone who knows me knows I'm obsessed with dogs, just a tad.
I think it's unhuman not to be obsessed with dogs.
I don't know. There are people.
I'm going to say I'm a cat person. Never had a dog.
Guys, this could get ugly really quick.
It could. But it's so much fun though, and he's so cute. And Trevor is amazing. Trevor is his little brother, I guess, but he's a sausage dog, not a pug.
Oh, pugs are way cooler.
Pugs are so cute. They have little faces. Anyway, so yes, pig the elf, everybody.
It's a Christmas book, Christmas themed.
It's exactly, it's meant for Christmas.
It's Aaron Levy, so you know that it's going to be great and funny and that kids will love it and the adults will love it too.
And if you get the book, check out the very back and there's this ridiculous Christmas list that he writes for Santa. And maybe to give you some ideas for your Christmas list, because I definitely got a few. I think I'm going to put canon on my Christmas list now too.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Nice.
False teeth. I think that was another one. Interesting. Just in case. You never know what will happen.
Put them in the canon and then bite your enemies from afar.
Actually, that sounds like something Pig would do. Well, there we go. I think we've discussed everything. But, you know, these are just our shortlist because there are so many books.
There's a whole gift guide.
There is a whole gift guide.
These are just like the top ones. Yeah. We've got a really extensive gift guide to help you find the perfect gift.
And, you know, if you go and you look at one of the books in the gift guide, everybody, check the description because if it says, you know, buy this book and you go in the draw to win $1,000 worth of books, because wouldn't that be the most excellent Christmas present ever, which of course you would keep for yourself.
Of course.
Never share that.
No.
But all you have to do is buy a book, and I think that's not a hard thing to do because
no, it's pretty easy.
Not. Yeah.
Everyone I know is getting a book for Christmas.
Yes. Same. Myself included.
Yeah. One for you, one for me.
Many for me.
Box for me. One.
That's the worst thing about working in books, because you buy for books for other people, but you usually buy the equivalent number for yourself. Mm-hmm. So
I've actually only bought books for myself so far. No one has actually got a book for Christmas yet.
Well, you've got your priorities. Changed.
I have. But the wish list is growing for myself and for others. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed our ramblings, everybody. And if you want to check out the 25 short in the shortlist or any of the others, just go to our website. We've got a banner. You can click straight on it and it takes you to our gift guide. And I hope you buy lots of books, because I know I will.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.